Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
While Chicago adjusts to working at home, the Score is there for you.
I appreciate you guys being there for us to listen to.
Everybody's listening. Kudos to you guys. Keep it going. I'm a loyal Score listener. I appreciate it all the time, but more than ever right now with you guys.
We are Chicago's number one sports station. 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. The Score! Ron Coomer, Chicago Cubs radio analyst.
Unbelievable.
1999 American League All-Star.
You might expect Wells to mix his pattern up. I mean, Coomer has owned David Wells.
This might work out.
The Coom Dog, every week with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Zach Zabin in for Mully this week, and we are pleased to welcome onto the show Ron Coomer. And Ron joins us on the Altamonte Ford Hotline, Altamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Good morning, Ron. How are you doing?
Good morning, David. Double Z. How are we doing, boys?
We're hanging in there. We're making the best of a bad situation. Zach is in his place. I'm in my place. We are remotely putting a show together, talking sports, Ron, the best we can. Just wanted, before we get into some Cubs issues and what we have ahead here on the Score, how are you doing? Where are you, and how are you coping?
We are doing okay. We're kind of like everybody else. We have come down to our place in Florida. We left Arizona. We did decide to fly a few days ago. The airports were pretty desolate, but we flew. We took major precautions while we flew. And now we're kind of quarantined here at the house in Florida. So, we're just kind of hanging out. I've been listening to you guys. And once again, thanks again for doing all this. I mean, it's, just in the little bumper coming in, people calling in saying how much they appreciate you guys being on the air. And, we're all friends and we work together and all that. But, to have some of this on the air is really helping everybody. And, I've been listening all the time. And to answer your question, David, we're quarantined here in Florida, just kind of hanging out in Clearwater and not doing a heck of a lot, I'll tell you that, like all of us, right?
That's a smart thing to do during these times. But by the way, if you want another way to find a diversion for the times that we're living in, beginning on April 1st, The Score will be running 17 days of the Cubs' 2016 postseason run, which was unbelievable, obviously, but not just for how it ended up, but every game during that stretch was exciting, nail-biting. It was the perfect postseason run to end the postseason drought, if you will, and finally culminate with a championship. And you and Pat are going to be on live. It's kind of like the radio version of what we see with NFL films after a Super Bowl, where we kind of get the inside take of what transpired from those actual games, right?
And every night, yeah, starting at 6, Ron. Yeah, you're gonna do that before the games and after.
Well, yes, we are, David and Zach. What we're going to do starting April 1st, we're going to start so fans can listen in. Pat and I and Joe Strowski are going to kind of talk about going into the game, and then post-game, I do believe we're going to take phone calls after from our listeners. But Pat and I are going to go through the game and kind of do exactly what you said, Zach. I'm really looking forward to it. You know, I watched Game 7 of the World Series just yesterday. I watched a good chunk of it going back and forth. I didn't watch many of the highlights of Cleveland, to be honest with you. I kind of fast-forwarded through some of those. I did watch the home run. I did watch the home run, the Davis home run to left that almost ruined my broadcast career from things I almost said on the air. But, you know, we got through it. It was okay. But, I watched that almost in its entirety, and I'm going to start going back and watching some of the games and listening to the games with Pat. And, you know, I just think it's going to be fun. I had chills as I was listening to some of the calls and some of the things that are going on in Game 7. So it's going to be fun. And it's you know, something we don't always do. But in these times, as you said, Zach, we're able to do some different things that we're not accustomed to. And I think it's going to be fun. And I'm looking forward to working with Joe. And obviously with Pat, him and I have already talked. I'm in Florida, so I don't have my scorebooks, right? So what did he do? I asked my partner. I said, now I know you're at home in Chicago. There is no doubt he is at home. He's at home without this virus. So I know he's at home. And he sent me his score sheets of the games, which one of them, Game 7, is in the Hall of Fame right now, which is really cool. And Pat is selling those. Which is a great, I got it in my restaurant in Lockport. But anyway, Pat sent me all the score sheets, and I've been going back and looking at all the games and reading about them again, and it's been a lot of fun.
April 1st, starting at 6 o'clock, that's next week. Looking forward to that, Ron. That sounds really cool. Great idea. And looking at baseball and the uncertainty ahead, Ron, I think it's kind of premature to project anything because of what we don't know. And which is a lot, which is there's going to be a lot of ground to cover, and we just don't know which direction this is headed. But there is a lot of conversation, and ESPN is reporting that the MLB Players Association is talking about advancing a portion of player salaries to cover a lot of the time off. They're talking about a schedule, a condensed schedule. Is there a date in your mind that the season has to start by for it to feel like a legitimate season?
Not really. David, I've gone through this in 90, going into the 95 season. When we had the strike and all of those things. And so I've experienced some of it. There'll be some asterisks if a team wins or whatever. And there's going to be some hurt feelings if you split the season or however that is. I mean, when they had the two halves, I believe it was Montreal had the best record in baseball, but didn't make the playoffs because they didn't win either half, if I recall. I think that's correct. It is what it is. Every industry, every business, everybody's going through this, and baseball is no different. So whatever we have to do, you put your heads together, whether it be Major League Baseball and our union, and try to come up with the best solution for our game first, and then for the fans second, and make it workable for the players so they can play the games and not risk injury. I think that's very important and has to be thought of very, very thoroughly because the last thing you want is guys to have a long layoff and then guys coming out and getting hurt. So that's something that's got to be thought of. But other than that, I think it'll be fine. You know, if we play half a season, if we play 60%, if we play 40%, we need baseball to be back on once we can. And I think it'd be good for everybody. So however it plays out, it plays out.
It's weird. Today was going to be the day where all of us were going to make that trek up to Milwaukee for tomorrow's season opener between the Cubs and Brewers. So obviously we're not going to have a full season, and in all likelihood, we're not going to see baseball probably a good half season the way things are going right now. If you listen to the medical experts, would probably be the best idea at this stage, and obviously subject to change. But in a shortened season, who would have an advantage? What kind of ball club would have an advantage if if, say, the season starts in July and you're talking about this mass crush to get to the postseason?
Boy, that's a good question. I would say the teams, like always, you know, the first thing that pops into my head, Zach, I haven't given that much thought, but it's a great question. The first thing that pops into my head is bullpens. Now, whether if I give it some thought here today and that changes, starting pitchers will probably be on a limited pitch count even more so than before, especially for the first two, three, four starts. So with that being said, that really puts a lot of onus on the bullpen, right? And depending on how we schedule, do we keep the same schedule? Will you have the same amount of off days in the month? So bullpen to me seems first and foremost. And then it would go right into starting pitchers. And then from there, you know, if your offense, you know, key players have to be healthy. You know, their guy's breaking down right now. I heard Noah Syndergaard is going to have Tommy John surgery. So, you know, their guys that are breaking down now and we're not playing. So I think for right now, it's a bullpen to answer your question. Then I would say rotation and then help third for all of your star players.
Ron, let's say optimistically at some point in time this spring or summer, the MLB does give the green light and teams start to reconvene and regather. How long do you feel like teams will need for spring training to get those pitchers in shape and so their arms aren't exposed to injury risk? And how do you feel about beginning games in front of stadiums that might be empty?
The time element is different. I would say, David, 2 weeks, maybe, you know, a couple rotations through, you know, or a couple turns through the rotation, maybe, to give guys just a little bit of time on the mound to throw in front of live hitters in a game situation. This is very different. It's totally unprecedented from anything we've gone through. But with that being said, I was involved in the 95 spring training after the walkout and strike and things like that. So it was a much shortened spring. But the difference is right now guys have had a spring training already. They've had 2/3 of their spring. And a lot of guys, when they were ready, when we left camp because of the virus, guys were game ready and good to go. So I would think it'll be a very short turn of physically trying to get yourself back to playing. So the pitchers, I'm guessing, are going to continue to throw some. They're not going to be cold going back into camp like they've never thrown. So I would say 2 weeks, 10 days to 2 weeks, and I think you'll be able to get back on the field and play.
And, Coom, a lot of the questions that we had about the Cubs, you were able to answer, given the fact that you were there throughout the entire course of spring training while it existed this year. Yu Darvish clearly the number one heading into the season, and Tyler Chatwood seemed to have taken a hold of the number five spot in the rotation. You know, Craig Kimbrell at least appeared to be healthy during his workouts over the course of the spring. There's some issues in the bullpen in terms of how the roles are going to be defined. It looked like what Jason Kipnis was making a statement at second base. Am I right on that? And more so than just the Cubs, who else that you had an opportunity to watch over the course of spring training in Arizona kind of caught your eye this season in terms of the other teams?
In terms of the other ball clubs, well, first of all, what you said about our Cubs club is exactly right. You and I had a chance to talk last week a little bit with Tommy Thayer. And, I really felt our Cubs club kind of came together, you know, along with the manager. I thought things with David, I thought things worked out pretty well. The other teams that really stand, I think the White Sox stand out, you know, I really do. I think they're going to be the interesting team to watch in baseball because they've done some different things with contracts. They've got some young players, and we'll see how that works out. But I tip my hat to Rick Hahn for what he did. In our division, I think it's going to be very interesting to see what the teams are like that we're really competing against. You know, I think Pittsburgh took a major step back. So, you know, they've lost quite a few players, but you know, that gives opportunity. So you never know. But St. Louis, Milwaukee, and then, you know, obviously Cincinnati has jump-started themselves. So to me, when I look at Milwaukee, they lost their starting catcher and an all-star catcher. That's going to be a big hit to them. But they do have some great offensive players in the middle of that lineup, as we know. Yelich, one of the best players in our game. But their pitching is going to be a question mark. They didn't really do much to amp up their pitching staff. And then St. Louis lost the big bat in left field. So the three major teams that have been in the race, nobody really took any major steps forward in who they added or what they did. And that's including the Cubs. But Cincinnati has taken a major step forward. So Cincinnati, as we know, Zach, it has been kind of a home game for the Cubs for quite a few years. And, you know, you and I kind of chuckle about it as we walk around downtown Cincinnati, you know, trying to go to go grab some breakfast at our place across the street and things like that. But it's not going to be that way any longer. It may be a home game for a little while, but this team is for real. They've got some really good players and some great bats in the middle. And some good pitching. So Cincinnati's going to be no joke when you go back into town there. So they probably stand out the most.
Great stuff, Ron. Thanks for checking in, and be safe down there in Florida. It's great to talk to you.
Same thing, David. Double Z. Tell Mully I said hi too, boys. You guys stay safe in Chicago. I look forward to seeing you guys and really getting back on the air with Pat April 1st. So hopefully everybody can listen. We're doing 17 games in 17 days. We'll have the championship series coming on. So thanks, boys, for having me on, and I'll talk soon. Be safe.
Ron Coomer, voice of the Cubs in the broadcast booth, the analyst.
Coomer.
You're on the score. Yes, Coomer. April 1st, 6 p.m., Pat and Ron back 17 straight days, 17 straight victories. Spoiler alert, the Cubs finished that 17-game stretch world champions. Right, Zach?
I love it. Sounds good to me.
So, Zach, we're gonna shift gears. We are going to talk to an Olympian. We're going to talk to Robbie Smith, a Greco-Roman wrestler who is in Evanston, been working out at Northwestern. And the big news yesterday, the Tokyo Games postponed to 2021. More than just economic and historic impact, it affects the lives of guys like and dreams of guys like Robbie Smith, who may not be able to hold on and be there in 2021. We will talk to him next. Mullen Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Molly and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Zach Zabin in for Molly this week, and we are pleased to welcome our next guest. Our next guest was an Olympic wrestler in 2016 at the Games, and he is Robbie Smith, who has been training 4 to 6 hours a day at Northwestern University and got the news yesterday that everybody expected, but it was as stunning as it was sad when you hear that the Olympic Games for 2020 have been postponed. And for us, there's going to be an impact. There's going to be a void. But for the athletes themselves, I can't imagine how that news must have felt. And Robbie joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Robbie, thank you for joining us. And what was your reaction when you got the news that you probably dreaded to get and receive yesterday?
Well, first, thanks for having me on. And yeah, no, to be blunt, it sucked. That's life-altering news. And I know in this time that we've had, a lot of people have had a lot of life-altering news in the past weeks that we've been dealing with this pandemic. But, it was not fun to hear. There's a lot of things in the air right now for a lot of people and a lot of athletes. And, it was crazy. I actually heard it the day before when the whole pound situation happened, and then they're like, no, it's not official. And then, so I was kind of already like, well, somebody messed up. So I kind of knew the day before, but when my phone was just blown up by family members and, teammates and stuff saying, what's going on? Is this for real? I'm sorry. We have a year to train. Like, you had your ups and downs of messages coming into you. So then I was like, so then I got on the phone because I woke up and I was like, whoa, wow, that's crazy. So yeah, it's not fun.
You know, the thing that kind of stood out to me is in just reading about your story, it's more than just the training where you sacrifice years of your life in order to reach this goal. It's everything about your life that you sacrifice when you're trying to get to the highest level. And I think sometimes we lose sight of that. And just reading about the immediate reaction when it became official from you, that more than anything, how do you come to grips with all the work that you've put in, all the sacrifices that you've made over the course of your life to get to this point and have the dream taken away just like that with a snap of a finger?
Yeah, I know. You put a lot of stuff on hold. You put a ton of stuff on hold. And I put, leading up to 16, I was dating my girlfriend at the time, now my wife. I told her, I was like, don't even think of marriage because, I got this thing. I told her it's kind of crazy right in the beginning of a relationship. So I'm already married. And you're kind of the second girl. And she's like, wait, what? I was like, I'm married to my sport of wrestling. I've been on this journey at that time, for over 20 years and I was like, I'm dedicated to making this team and being the best athlete I could possibly be. If you want to ride with me, please come along, but don't understand that that comes first. And she was like, let's do it. And so to have that support then, and then now to have her in my life as my wife and moving forward. But we've put off having kids and stuff. And before that, I, put off going to school and doing a lot of stuff like that. But what's so crazy is what people don't understand. It's a village that takes to build an athlete. And so many people have put stuff off for me, and sacrificed for me. My parents have put so much into me to make this dream possible that, I don't know if they're going to see me ever wrestle again, and then also like going forward, it so many people have so much interest in you. Do I delay my life another year? And my outside of wrestling. But at the same time, this is all I've ever known. Wrestling has given me, I started wrestling at 4.5 years old and I'm 33. And I've been doing this for 29 years now and it's crazy. And, it's a very difficult thing to swallow. And I've processed so much and I'm blessed to have the support I have, and that's what means the most to me, and to know that family and that support will never leave, because that's who we are and that's what we do. And but it's difficult that, you know, the journey I have started as a young boy and the dream I've had since I was 9 years old, since I saw my first Olympics in 1996, you know, and the one thing is I got to make an Olympic team. You know, the goal was to always win the Olympics, but I got to make an Olympic team, and I was hoping to go medal this time around and get the job done. But it's difficult to swallow. But, you know, everything you do is just keep grinding, and that's the mentality of a wrestler. And then that's also what a lot of people don't know, too, is how many athletes, not just wrestlers, how many athletes are out there that don't know where to go from here. Or have a huge decision. Some people are like, oh, it's just a year. It's like, but you put so much on hold. People put so much of their life on hold that they don't understand that, you know, big decisions are made by these athletes that if they're going to keep going to pursue a lifelong dream or, you know, start the next phase of life. And that all happened yesterday. So it's crazy.
We're joined by Olympic Greco-Roman wrestler Robbie Smith from Evanston, been training at Northwestern University. And Robbie, I want to follow up on that. I mean, you're 33 years old. That's you're a relatively young man still. And yet in the wrestling world, maybe that isn't a young man at all. Maybe you are facing, you know, the end of your career. So when you consider what is next about 2021, is that a decision that you, when we see you say, and there's a great story in the Chicago Tribune by Stacey St. Clair the other day, when you sort of imply that this is the end of the road, is that so mentally you can move on, or because physically you know that in another year you won't be at that elite level where you can compete at the Olympic level and make an impact?
That's a great question. You know, it's something I, you know, you have to, I can't make that decision. And I've had time to think of it. And now that it's here, it's like, oh, wow. You know, I got to make a wise decision here, you know, and it's not just for me, it's for my wife too. Mm-hmm. It is the end of the road towards, you know, this was going to be my last Olympics. I wasn't going to go another quad, tell you that much. I wasn't even thinking about going another year. I was going to go out on my own terms, though. You know, I was going to go either carrying my sword or falling on it. And I was going to go out and, you know, with a crowd cheering my name for winning or a crowd cheering for my name for saying goodbye. You know, so it's that's what's hard. That's what's kind of given me a little bit of like, ooh, like, what do I do? But, you know, I have people as have offered, you know, job offers and stuff like that, that I can't put on hold. So it'd be like, I'm giving up a whole nother life, for one more year. And, so I have a big decision on my hands, and it's difficult, to process all at once. And that's why I'm kind of trying to take a little bit of a time, but you know, I am 33. I think there are some older athletes coming back for the Olympic year, but for like consistency of the last, you know, quad, I think I'm the oldest athlete out there wrestling. And you know, I've put up my body through a lot. I just had major shoulder surgery to try to come back for this year. I had labrum, bicep tendon, rotator cuff, AC repair, and you know, that's pretty much a basically new shoulder. And to try to come back, I put every bit in me. I did everything right, you know, and pushed myself so hard. And this was my eighth surgery I've had, and I've pushed myself to put myself in a point that I can compete at the trials. And make this team to go forward. And I felt great. I just went down to Cuba to test it out. I took third after being laid off the mat for 9 months. I took third at an international competition. So I was like, oh, this is a great sign, peaking at the right time. And then, you know, next thing you know, we don't know when trials is going to be and when we're even going to have a chance to go to the Olympics. And then next thing you know, the Olympics is postponed. So, you know, it's I think mentally there, if I wanted to go another year, for sure. I think mentally I'm always there. I'm strong mentally. It's physically, my body will handle it. Like I said, I've had 8 surgeries. And as you get older, recovery is tougher. And the one person that's always undefeated is Father Time. And you just got to push it, you know. And, I mean, we hear that right now. I stole that from ESPN because that's what everybody says about Tom Brady is, you know, it's not when, it's if. And it's when. So it's like whenever you have the time to do it, you know, take the chance. But now my body's hurting and I got it ready, and I don't know if it would be ready in the whole year. But mentally, no one can beat me mentally. And if I really wanted to do it, I can push it for another year. But physically, it's my body will hold up.
Robbie, we wish you the best of luck in whatever you choose to do moving forward. I know that reading about you was inspiring. You said that you were born to do this, but it sounds like you'll figure it out, whatever challenge lies ahead for you and your family. And we just thank you for coming on this morning to talk about a tough situation.
I appreciate you guys having me on and let me get my story out there. And that's just not for me, but it's for all Olympic athletes that are struggling right now with this. And if you have if you know somebody trying out for the Olympics or doing their part to try to do this, you give them a call or give them a text and let them know that, hey, they're in your thoughts, because they have a lot of tough decisions coming ahead of them. And so anybody out there listening, just make sure, you know, that I know it's a tough time, and a lot of people are like, well, you're still training for the Olympics and stuff like that. But it's people's worlds were flipped upside down yesterday. So make sure you reach out if you know anybody.
Robbie Smith, the Olympic Greco-Roman wrestler from Evanston, joins us and told his story on The Score. Zach, you just feel for guys like that. There are a lot of athletes out there that fall into the same sort of category as Robbie, who just, you know, that's a bridge too far to wait another year, whether it's physical or whether it's mental. It's just so difficult to take that on and add that challenge after getting to the point where you were ready to embrace this one. So such a tough story.
Yeah, especially when, you know, about a week and a half ago, this wasn't even a thought in your mind. And then all of a sudden, the Rudy Gobert thing happens in the NBA. And within the span of 48 hours, it seemed like sports as we know it, especially in this country, shut down. And then you just knew, as the news continued to get worse and worse and worse when it comes to the real world, that the inevitability of what transpired yesterday with the Olympics would happen. You feel for those guys who've been training, who essentially, as he said, put life on hold in order to put themselves in the best possible position to succeed. Heartbreaking.
He's Zach. I'm David. Mullinghaw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Mullinghaw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Zach Zabin in for Mully this week. And Zach, we just got done talking to Robbie Smith, a name who people probably listening to The Score this morning, hopefully, and talking sports. And we've been talking about Cam Newton and Mitch Trubisky and the Bears and names of guys and athletes that people typically recognize. I don't know that anybody out there, probably a very small percentage of our audience, knew who Robbie Smith was. And yet to hear the anguish in his voice about having to face the reality, 33-year-old Olympic Greco-Roman wrestler, likely not going to compete in 2021 because he just can't put his life on hold for another year. Those are the kind of things when you consider, okay, this is only sports, and we understand what the pandemic means to so many people and the health concerns and things that are really a matter of life and death. But when you deal in the sports realm, as we do, and you hear somebody like Robbie Smith talk about the opportunity cost and the toll that has taken on his life and what he has invested in terms of hope and time and money and resources and family into this opportunity that now never will come, it hits a little bit harder, because it makes you recognize how many other examples out there like Robbie Smith there are that aren't getting publicity, that don't have a radio station to call and talk to, that are being overlooked and forgotten, and they find it difficult to move on.
It's a great point. You know, we deal with sports, so that's why we're talking about this particular aspect of things. Everyone in the country has had to sacrifice something over the last week and a half, 2 weeks. We're all learning and processing and absorbing this new way of life. And there are many people listening that have been hit hard financially. There are many people listening that have been hit hard physically. But from the sports standpoint, and I had an opportunity firsthand to experience this. You know, I was with the DePaul Blue Demons as their play-by-play voice. I was at Madison Square Garden during the Big East tournament when the news came down that everything was being canceled and you got to go back home. And, you know, those guys aren't doing it. Very rarely will a college athlete get an opportunity to go to the professional level. These guys are doing it because they love playing and they get to experience something really special. For most, that'll be the highest level of sports that they ever get to achieve. And for some, you know, they win their last game against Xavier. There's an opportunity to keep the dream alive and maybe move on in the Big East, but that gets yanked away. And, you know, for the seniors, they'll never get that opportunity to experience that again. And you heard the sacrifice, both from a physical standpoint in terms of getting yourself ready to compete at the highest level from Robbie, but also putting his life on hold as well. You know, Yu Darvish will get an opportunity to pitch again at the professional level. Anthony Rizzo will get a chance to step in the box. But many of these Olympians, these college players, the high school players that had their seasons yanked away just like that without much warning, they'll never get an opportunity to do that. And you feel for those people. You feel for them.
You do, Zach, because, look, nobody's trying to pretend. Look, we know this is reinforced. Sports don't matter as much as the other things that we're discussing during this pandemic. They don't matter as much as vaccines and, you know, the things that we're doing in social distancing and everything we're doing to preserve our health. But they still do mean a lot in the context of many people's worlds. And how many times do we see this time of year, whether it's in the tournament we're used to watching, which would be resumed tomorrow, and we're talking about people walking off the court, wiping tears away because it's their last time in college, or it's their last game of a long career, or in high school. Everybody listening in the audience this morning, hearing our voices right now, if they were a high school athlete, and a lot of them were, because they're listening to Sports Talk Radio, they remember the image in their mind of their last moment when they were a high school athlete. I can remember my last football game at North Jetson High School. We got beat. We were undefeated. We had 10 straight games that we didn't give up a touchdown, and we were upset. And I remember crying like I never cried before, thinking that that was as traumatic of a moment as I've ever experienced, and thank God that it was at that point in my life. But those are the types of things, success and failure that you're not able to experience now because nobody's playing sports and nobody knows when they're going to play sports again. And those opportunities that we're depriving people, I mean, you hear it in guys like Robbie Smith, and it is something that you're right. It's not like pro athletes who Mitch Trubisky's going to take snaps again. Rizzo, Darvish, a lot of examples. It's just not the same when you talk about amateur athletics.
Yeah, it's a precious few moments that you have over the course of your life if you're good enough to be in that situation, as Robbie is, to take advantage of your ability and compete at the highest level. And the thing that I think stings just in listening to him talk is that, again, we weren't even, I don't think we've wrapped our minds yet around how quickly things changed. You know, because when it initially happened, I think you're thinking, well, what happens now? You know, you just have to be careful. I don't think that many of us thought this is something that could last for months. This is something that could last for the rest of the year, that there's a possibility that, at least in America, you may not see professional sports again for the rest of 2020. I think the thought of, at the time that the NBA shut down, the thought of not having the Olympics in July, I don't think we comprehended it as much a week and a half ago. And now all of a sudden, bam, everything changes.
It does. It changes
you have
rapidly.
To adjust, and you have to adjust. Like, we're asking Robbie, what's next in his life? And I'm sure he's still trying to grapple with all the, with this. Just, he's been, for 33 years, he's been angling toward this moment. And now this moment is gone. What do you do?
Yeah. You know, in the 815 texter wants to play gotcha. No, nobody is suggesting that COVID-19 is hitting sports athletes and sports figures harder than the rest of society. But you are listening to a sports talk radio station, and people here have interests in sports. And the athletes that we speak to range from amateurs to professionals and, you know, coaches and everywhere in between. And in that setting, in that context, we have to look at the cost, not only in terms of economic costs, not only in terms of historic impact, but the human toll. And that's what you heard in the voice of a Robbie Smith, and that's what you're talking about, Zach. And I'm sure that as you came back from the Big East tournament and the reality started to sink in about how serious of a situation that we were about to face, that you probably saw it in the faces of the DePaul basketball team. You know, fear is very easy to detect, whether it's in somebody's voice or on somebody's face. But I'm sure that you will remember that experience and how that was handled, because this is a time in our life nobody thought would happen, but nobody is ever going to forget.
Yeah, and it happened so rapidly. That's the thing, that, you know, when they were playing basketball that Wednesday, the day that the Gobert thing happened, so you thought, all right, so the next day, the announcement was made in the middle of the DePaul game that, you know, the next day there was going to be a game played at Madison Square Garden, just without fans. But you figured, all right, so this might be the new normal. And then all of a sudden, bam, everything gets shut down. And not just in sports, in life. And
right.
I think where we come from, obviously, every single day we talk about sports. It's what we do. It's what we love. But if you want to be good at anything, you have to have the same passion and dedication and focus and sacrifice that you heard from Robbie in our last segment, whether you want to be a great musician, a great artist, even a great accountant, whatever it is that you want to do. And life is changing. And I think we just listen to it from a sports standpoint. It holds true for everyone in any occupation, in any part
of life. Another 815 texter says, I cut off three fingers in a table saw accident and didn't shed a tear. I cried like a baby after my last high school soccer game. I got the fingers back. Well, that's good that he got the fingers back, or she got the fingers back, but that's what we're talking about. We're talking about the kind of things that in the context of your sports experiences and how you relate that to what you're dealing with now. But thanks, Zach. Another great show. Another great 4 hours talking with you and getting through it together.
All right, stay healthy, my friend.
You too, and tomorrow we will talk about some of these things with Jim Phillips, Northwestern Athletic Director, will join us at 7 o'clock. And, you know, what's next in terms of the eligibility of seniors that want to return for another season, and how does he handle and navigate some of these difficult circumstances ahead for college athletics? Thank you to Dustin Rhodes, our executive producer.
David, you're pretty quick on that computer there.
Thanks to Kev Bo.
Little wise guy. He's a little wise guy.
And the glue of the operation. Thank you, Ray.
Hi, the name's Pound. Dick Pound.
And most of all, thank you to everybody for calling, for texting, and for listening. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
End the story.
I see you soon, baby.
That's all I got.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.